You've been placed on hold. Please wait.
Hiya.
Why is that happening?
Dodgy reception, I think.
No, because it said I get a message saying my credit balance is out, but I'm on a contract. Doesn't make any sense.
Oh no, maybe it was on that. I know my three thing was running out, so maybe it was that as well.
So basically, all I'm saying is, like, you know, effectively, mate, I'm trying to avoid a big fight. I'm trying to do what I think is best for business going forward.
Yeah.
What I was going to ask you, and so we talked a lot about property recently. Linton may be, and that was why I was going to speak to Linton tonight. You know, this part of me, I said to you yesterday, like, you know, maybe it's you have non-voting shares and the property. I don't know. There's so many moving parts, mate. And so many people that have requests and requirements and want X, Y, and Z. I'm trying to fucking find a way not to alienate people again and to try and do the right thing. And, you know, so I guess one question for you is, you know, what's more important to you, the shares or the house? I mean, we can link them together and it can be like, you know, you've got non-voting shares today, but you get the property and then they become voting shares in due course. And, you know, like the thing, maybe
that would probably work for me, to be honest. Yeah, I could probably be happy with that, or, you know.
Right, and maybe Linton's happy with that as well. But you see what I mean? Like, I don't know. I can't make these decisions for you or for Linton, because ultimately, or for Metal, you know, ultimately, what I'm trying to do is for people that, like, at the moment, one of my key things is what I'm trying to do is empower other people. As in, not just be like, oh, I've got to be here and this, I've got to come to work and blah, blah. But to say, look, you know, done the right thing. Hope we're doing the right thing by you. These are the things that are important to you. And because we're a small company, we can help with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way we can probably help more than other companies, right?
Yeah.
So, but there is a lot of moving parts, mate, and it is a bit challenging at the moment. So if I send out an email going, look, this is a proposal proposition, and I probably will do an email tonight, whether it goes tonight or tomorrow or whatever, but I'll just be honest, I'm going to just share it, and I'm just going to say, look, I don't have the answer, I'm not exactly sure how this works out, these are my views, and I'm torn a bit, where I don't, part of me thinks this is fair, part of me thinks that's fair, you know. And, you know, and honestly, I don't remember exactly the conclusion. My view is that there was no conclusion. Various multiples have talked about Metal, blah, blah. Yeah? But I don't, you see what I mean? Like, I'm trying, it's a fucking horrible job. It's basically a scenario. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 2 weeks ago, you're like, no, I've got to have voting shares. Yeah?
Yeah.
Linton, I can barely get a decent conversation out of at the moment. Yeah? I don't know what was going on, but like today, I've just texted him tonight. I said, can you spare me 2 minutes? He went, in 30 minutes, mum's scheduled a call. I said, my mum or yours? That was meant to be a joke. Anyway, I said, but no worries, whatever, just call me when you're free. He then replied, half an hour later, can we possibly reschedule tomorrow, please? Mum isn't doing too well, my head is a bit all over the place. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And I went, no problem at all, mate. All recent challenges aside, if anything I can do, then please just ask and I'll do my utmost. Just let me know when Sue's to chat. Hope you're okay. He went, thank you, appreciate it. I went, no worries. Okay? That's a nice conversation. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I can't, you know, you're like, I've talked quite significantly to you about things that might be able to be open to you and the things that are important to you. Yeah? Like, but I need to do the same with Linton. I need to do the same with yoga.
And
on the LSE today, I did try and shut the fuck up for a big part of it, and when Aubrey said to me, do you want to outline the things you think are important, and I said, well, I'd rather go last because I think it's important. I think it's important because, you know, that is what you guys are telling me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's the right. That was the right thing to do, wasn't it?
No, I think, yeah, it's good to...
What I did notice whilst not speaking,
yeah,
was when I listened to you all, actually, in the end, you all probably ended up at the same place I did, or the same place I would have ended up. And it's just that, you know, obviously in the past, what I've done is gone, that solution, just make it happen. I've got no time to talk about why it needs to happen, blah, blah.
Yeah,
I've
not
anybody. Sorry.
I think, you know, it works if people are in agreement, but if people aren't in agreement, then, you know, that process has to go through, and sometimes people will end up in the same place as you, but
most of those conversations that happened, all of it ended up in the same place that I hoped it would if I was to make that decision.
Yeah.
But what I have obviously been doing, or I think this is the case, is I've obviously been making those decisions and because I think they're right and I think I'm doing the right thing and I'm busy and I haven't got time to explain it and hug everyone along the way. But in reality, by not hugging everyone along the way, I've lost everybody.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, the doing stuff unilaterally has touched the nerve with various people at points in the last few months. And, the thing where the big fallout happened, basically it made us all kind of worry, to be frank, because it could be interpreted quite nefariously. And I think that where there's ambiguity there, that leads to suspicion. And, you know, sometimes you're the one who becomes overly suspicious and suspects the worst. And I think in that instance, actually it turned around and it was the other way around. But either way, yeah, I think it's a case of sometimes, like you say, it is sometimes more time consuming, but it just means that at least everyone's on the same page.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, Vosey says the same thing to me. It's like, mate, yeah. Because it is more time consuming. Like, I do want to just go, fucking hell, guys, it's pretty fucking obvious. We all agree, Stuart comes in one day a week, fine, done.
I think the other side of it is that actually if we end up, and this is my sort of thing that I've been, keep saying, is that actually if we have the group call, rather than having lots of small calls where we tend to work out, you know, or have our private conversations and different things sort of get said, we actually save a bit of time in a way because we're all saying it together anyway, and so we don't have to keep relaying stuff and it gets rid of all the
risk. Oh, mate, I considering that was our first attempt at the LSD,
it will get better.
I think it was really, really good. And Alex has sent out the fucking notes. I've just sent him a message saying thanks so much, mate, for doing that promptly. Yeah, because I think it was, you know, mate, it wasn't very easy for me to shut up. You know what I'm like. I want to fucking But it's in good faith. But you know, and actually, it was quite interesting for me because I was like, fucking hell, we're ending up in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this LSC or whatever other structures we put in place, and there'll be more, I guess. But you know, actually, like you say, actually, George, you think it's a fucking time wasting because you've got to explain yourself. So I think I have the answer. I think it's the right answer. If I don't have the answer, I probably used to ring you. And I think we're probably getting back to that. Or Vosey, and say, don't really know how this works a lot. And actually also Stuart, because I think Stuart has like got probably some of the best insight and innovation ideas to lots of particular product and industry and market. And but I think the reality is, if I was on that call, right, and there were five of us on that call today, right,
mm-hmm.
and I had just got on the call and gone, right, I don't want to listen to anybody's time, I'm too busy, but here's what we're going to do. Stuart will come in there, and then we'll have some ad hoc meetings if he needs to. Alex needs to communicate that with Aubrey's here. Next, we need to sort out fucking budget for staffing, la, la, la. Approached Jason last night. So if I had gone on that approach, which is probably maybe what you would argue historically, I either have actually done or metaphorically or, you know, defaultly done, you know, actually maybe we do now. Maybe actually, you know, the truth is that actually there's a huge amount of time saving because we have a fucking call once a week. George doesn't dictate it all to everybody. You know, and I got to race stuff. Like at the end of it, I was like, I do want to know what's going on with the competition. Yeah.
Yeah.
I you know, I don't know if you've had a chance to speak to Mel or Aubrey has, but like, you know, we do need to know what's happening out there.
Yeah.
And I obviously do feel a bit removed, and you probably do sometimes when you're in Newcastle and stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, I think there was a pushback a bit on you, like focus more on IT and shit. I probably would have been less severe in that regard because I glean a lot of value from you from these kind of conversations because it's like a sounding board, you know. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it went. I actually think it went well, and I think you know. I think everyone's a bit over polite. You could almost feel, you know. there's a business model. I can't remember who it's by, but it's, I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called forming, storming, norming, and performing. And basically, forming is like when everyone's a bit overpolite with everybody, and then forming, storming is then we'll probably start all fucking arguing, and then norming, and maybe we're already at the norming stage as a business. We start to go, actually, fucking hell, how do we actually make this work? Let's just stop being dicks to each other. But actually, we're all pretty good people, and we've got something that could be a really cool team, and we shouldn't be tearing strips off each other. And that's why I'm concerned about the stuff with chairs. I'm trying to get that right. And then performing is the last stage, and you know it's basically it's like with you know some fucking dude from Harvard or whatever, you know, they built two groups over executive groups over fucking a millennia, and you know, and the last stage is performing, and that's like kind of where like you know you all fucking scream at each other, you all told each other you're done. Well, you first meet, you're all really polite, and then you fucking all start arguing and performing, and then you all kind of go, hang on a sec, and maybe we're in that point now where we're kind of going, so performing, norming, storming. Sorry, forming, storming, norming. Maybe we're in norming at the moment, which is, okay, look, we've all shouted at each other. We've all got shit to let at each other's door. It's all not totally fixed, but we're moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're trying to put some structures in place that will help it. And maybe the next stage is performing. Because if that is the case, well, that's great. And I think for a first fucking meeting today, I have to say I felt impressed, and even on, you know, since you said a couple of things to me about like writing to the desk and so on, you know, and I Aubrey text me, oh my god,
people need to feel like they are able to control things. I think that's what it is. You know, you give people targets, and you don't need to tell them this is or a goal or whatever. You don't need to say this is how you perform it. You just literally let them work it out themselves. And if they, you know, mistakes will probably be made, and there probably will be a bit of frustration in the early bits.
Okay. Sorry, mate, just one sec.
Yeah. No, I'll go as you're reading something.
So, okay, cool, but basically you've kind of answered my question. So basically, look, mate, basically just, if I try and put some propositions together or whatever, try and do the right thing. Ultimately, I guess you've answered the question I really rang for, which is, yeah, fine, whatever. Yes, I would like property and like shares, and if they can transfer and so on. If I get it wrong in the email or whatever, right, then just, it's not, I'm not laying things in, I'm trying to say things as proposals. And there's lots of stakeholders, and I'm trying to make lots of stakeholders happy. That's all. Okay, so if I get it slightly wrong.
Okay.
But so, no, that's all I'm saying. So just bear with me and, you know, my intent, and hopefully, like, a bit like the OSC says, let's just, you know, try and do it positively and right thing and integrity and all that crap, right?
Yeah. No,
but I do, and I did speak to Yogi briefly today, but I do need to, you know, we need to secure Linton and Yogi, mate. That's fine. So I'm having this conversation with you, but I also need to, Yogi's probably different, like a bit easier. He probably won't be talking about property and all that shit. But also, you know, I do need to know what Linton wants. And, you know, he might suddenly go, actually, fucking hell, actually, I'd rather buy a fucking place too. Or have to be given some money towards a deposit or.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, but, and I also don't know how this all affects the share. There's lots of moving parts, and it's difficult to find the right answer, and I'm going to give it a stab, but obviously I don't want to be making statements that, or trying to, you know, say this might be an option if I haven't spoken to you to even know whether it is an option.
No, I kind of think there is the argument, because Linton won't be that far behind me in terms of where he wants to be, I guess. And that is, he probably has a similar opinion that he's not too sure whether the shares are valuable at the moment. But
yeah, but obviously, I don't want to be giving fucking property from the company to you and him, and therefore lose. There's got to be somehow, I don't know the answer, I have to tie in
people,
it's not tying in, well, yes, I do have to tie in people, but... It has to tie in, like, it's got to be motivation, you know, so it's got to somehow result in, I want the best. So, if you have shares, you care more about the performance of the company because your remuneration is affected.
Yeah, but I think the thing is, if you, the way I kind of see it, almost like you said earlier, is that if you go down the route of offering a deposit or whatever, or something towards a deposit, then that can be done as a loan, which then gets converted to shares. It obviously, as far as the mortgage company is concerned, it's not a loan, but you kind of say this money is given to you, but the net effect is eventually you'll repay that deposit and they get converted into shares. So there is an incentive that those, you know, that turns into shares, and therefore, you know, things go up and look better, and obviously that should be the case if he, you know, Linton's part of the company, etc. Those goals, obviously, you know, are achievable, and that ties us in. And, you know, me and Linton, in the short term, we get our property, but in the long term, the shares are there, and that gets, you know, we pay that deposit or whatever it is, or whatever. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly how it'll work, but ultimately, like, you're not going to... well, I don't think you're going to hate me for trying to make sure that the company benefits from outlaying over cash.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just fair and right, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I don't know, but to the best benefits of you. And also, like, you know, I spoke to you last night about it, like, and I need to get off the phone because I've got crack on, but, like, you know, I spoke to you last night, like, obviously, like, if you buy a fucking Bansko and you're going to spend 108, you're willing to spend 186 days there, I mean, obviously, that potentially could, I don't even know, because it's so long since we've spoken about this, yeah?
Yeah.
And it's a bit like when we talk about POI, I'm just like, I can't even really give you the answer, mate, I just know somewhere in my gut, let's just not rush into it. And it's the same with this, I know somewhere in my gut, that option of the Bulgarian thing with you and blah, blah, blah could create huge opportunity for the company. But I can't quantify it today because I haven't looked at it for fucking 7 months, 9 months, 12 months.
Okay. So what
can you thinking... Can you remember the exact fucking benefits of you having a Bulgarian residency? Because I fucking can't. I just know that they are... All I remember is reading something that said most tax-efficient jurisdiction in Europe, and offshore, they don't come under, I can't remember the term for it, but basically, they don't come under offshore tax rates. So if the money's made offshore, you don't get taxed on it in Bulgaria.
Yeah.
So no, I just said being like, actually, there's a lot of options to it. So I can't remember the details, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, and it works out both, you know, there's potentially works out for the company, but it also works out for me as well, isn't it, in a way, because I'm getting taxed, you know, not only is certain stuff company related and maybe getting taxed at 10%, but, you know, certainly my stuff, if I'm living out there, it just makes sense to get, you know,
And I will, you know what I'm like, mate? In the end, I'll work it out and I'll give you the most fucking details and fucking categorical fucking solution known to man. But today I can't quite remember it all. Probably getting old.
I think this is the other thing is like, if because, you know, we spoke about the heavy route of getting a Bulgarian out there who would be cheap. If I'm out there, then obviously it makes more sense than London. And then, you know, then there's the argument of rather than have, you know, loads of IT stuff, that is, you know, you set up a Bulgarian company and do the IT stuff through there and whatever, you know, similar to GCV. But, you know, and as long as that's done in a transparent way, I don't see that being an issue. Obviously, you know, I think you and Mahol need to know what those details are.
But also, like, you know, like, I don't want to make decisions regarding Mahol and shareholdings, right? Really, I don't want to be held responsible in isolation, George, you know, because, and this is a bit of a thing, like, you know, like, I accept it, you know, but it's part of being a leader or whatever. But I, you know, I don't want, you know, I don't want to make those decisions on my own, though. Like, I think it should be, you know, there are decisions I'm more than happy to make on my own, probably more than anyone else wants me to. But regarding this sort of thing, it's like, I don't have the answer, mate. And, you know what I
Yes,
you're still there. I thought you were.
Sorry, someone dialed in, and I guess it cut you out. You know, sometimes I don't think I have all the answers, and there's too many stakeholders, and therefore, you know, other people need to input. And even with, I was chatting to Adam and his bro tonight, and I was like, why are you laying it all at my fucking door? Like, I don't know all the answers. I don't know the answer. I'll try and work it out, but, you know, I don't know the answer. I'm a bit torn. Part of me's like, you know what, if Mel sees this, we see this other thing, then we should meet midway. Part of me's like, no, that's not fair. We should do it pro rata, because why should Mel get a bigger uplift than us when we've taken all the motherfucking risk? And when I say us, I mean us, including you and Lynn. You know, Mel has really not taken any risk, and we have hugely enhanced his fucking shareholder value.
Yeah, I mean, look, as I said, when I spoke to Mel about this, I did frame something on those lines of, you know, George has done certain things actively, whereas, you know, he's been rather passive in certain ways. And I think there's arguments on both sides. It's one of the things.
Yeah, there is, mate. And that's the thing. And I'm not, you know, I haven't got everything right. But also, mate, like, if you're honest, I could have done those things a long time ago. I didn't. The only time I took action, was when I felt threatened. And that really is it. I only did it because I felt scared. That was it.
Well, I know Mahol, where Mahol has questions, I think, because I said to him about the antique thing, and he sort of said, well, you know, that money did come out of, you know, it come out of the company and it went into GCP, and okay, you've taken on the risk from a personal liability point of view, but it's been done on the company's, at the company's expense.
Initially that money was paid out. It was paid back later. Initially, it was paid by us.
So, yeah, I think that the lack of transparency there
And I'm working on that. So basically, I sent that email today or yesterday regarding reconciliation one. So I've done all the intercompany reconciliations, $150,000 benefit, guaranteed course time, end of, right?
Yeah.
I'm now working on the other stuff, which is the full reconciliation with suppliers.
Mm-hmm.
And if it comes out, I owe the company or the DCD owes the company money, then we'll pay it back. Simple as that. And if we don't, the company needs to pay it to us, and if the company doesn't have enough money to do it, then we're going to give the company back the money for the loan. And if Mehul wants to loan the money back to them, because whatever the loan is, you know, whether it's at 0%, and it could be at 0% from us, you know, or it's at 100%, it's at 45% per annum, then fine, do it half as Mehul. I don't give a shit. Like, I'm going to do what's right, mate. Honestly.
Yeah. I think his concern, lack of transparency.
He's in a difficult situation, and I get that. He's in the situation I was in for fucking a decade. Because whatever percentage he ends up with, whether it's 23, 35, 400, you know, he's always going to be the minority shareholder. And not a nice position, mate, because you don't really get to dictate it. But what I want to do is work with the motherfucker and capture the value, and I want, you know, to try and find, like, it could be, we say, well, fuck it, you know, take a sat, look, I know you want some more shares, but I don't agree with that. Maybe the solution is, you get a fucking good salary for 2 years, guaranteed, go and fucking sell shit, because that is massive value to the company.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a big fucking check as a result. Or, I don't know the answer, Jace, and that's what I'm trying to work on tonight. But, obviously, like, I can't be making assumptions going, well, maybe one of the options is Jason gets the money for a flat and he doesn't get voting rights today, but at some point in the future, there's a formal or informal agreement that we will relook at voting rights, or there's a conversion stock for payment, and if he's here in another X number of years, or the amount of the dividend offsets against the loan, or I don't know, because I need to sit down and fucking work it out. You know what I'm like? I need to fucking do the crunch the fucking details, mate, and that's fine, but I can't, but the reason for this call is that I have to ask you that. I have to say to you, I can't say, no, Jason's potentially into property, and you'll be like, no, I'm fucking not. That, I'm just wasting my time, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing I also need to do with, like, Linton and Yogesh, and however we'd structure it and all this kind of stuff, you know. But, you know, it is a very complicated thing because there are so many different stakeholders.
Yeah. Yeah, with me, the voting thing is a long-term thing. For the short, medium term, I can live without it, but I do...
The reality is, if you want my honest, immediate response to that...
Yeah.
It doesn't fill me with joy because part of me... I'm not saying that I told you last night I'll try and do everything I can to help you, but... You know, it also worries me because it's like you basically see the property as a safer bet than the company.
And more because of my personal situation.
Let's be honest, it fucking is. I've got to somehow tie the property into you being like, you still want to make as much. Now, it's kind of almost in some ways sort of irrelevant because I don't know the last, aside from our little difficulties, like, really, have you ever, you know, even last night you're talking about, well, maybe there could be a benefit company this way, and so the Bantico thing may be the best option. You know, like, I don't, to give you your dues, I think you've always really kind of considered the best of the company. Do you know what I mean? So, But I do have an obligation to the company to try and make sure that, because like, although you have that, if you also know, actually, my dividend payment or my allocated bonus allowance or my this, that, and the other pays off this much of the fucking property or whatever, that it's just human nature, right? You're going to be like, no, you've got every decision you make, you'll be like, no, we've got to maximize profit. And that is what any company wants. Not what I want. It's what a company wants.
I think my sort of perspective on this is that, you know, as I said, I the way I interpret it is that I've kind of put my neck on the line because I've put myself as a director for the Zambia Sunny stuff, et cetera, et cetera. I was happy to do that and still am happy in a way. But I feel that when we got to the point a few weeks ago where we literally everything was collapsing, I kind of thought, well, what was this for? Because effectively, I you know, things collapse and I think, well, I've done this for nothing. And that's where I get to the point where now I'm kind of thinking, well, actually, I need some sort of securitization.
And the
property thing is a personal thing, not because of not just because of the fallout from a company level, but because actually at some point I know I have to get out of here, and I cannot stomach renting for another year or two. And
okay, any business in the world will go fuck off. It's nothing to do with us.
Well, it is because.
But no, no.
If
I'd gone to any of my employers, yeah, and said, I need to sort out my housing situation. Yeah, can I have more money? They're going, no. But the beauty of this, and this is the thing that we've got to leverage, and I see it as a huge advantage, is we should and we can and we should do it to help you. Because as a small company, that or moving from a smaller to a slightly, I mean, we're on that kind of small, medium enterprise, right? We're not a two-man startup. We're not a 100 million business. But that's something right now we as a company, or if we can get our shit together as a group or whatever, that we can do. And I've said to you, mate, if we can, then we should. I honestly believe that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's lots of things like that right now as a small company that we can probably do to the benefit of everybody and to individuals such as you and Vince and so on. But I have to have a conversation. I can't make assumptions for you because that's not my place. Anyway, listen, mate. So, okay, cool. Thank you for your input. I just wanted to chat, really. That was the main point. Just wanted to see if there was better people on that. So I'll put some ideas. I'm going to try and put some ideas together. I don't... Well, all I can do is be honest and talk about it and go, look, these are my thoughts. I think this might be fair, that might be fair. There might be some flexibility in this, might be flexibility in that. But, you know, I can't... You know, at one point, Mel's like, no, we've got to sort this all out together. As in, we've got to sort all the shares out with Jason and everyone. And then he changed his position and went, let's just sort all the shares out with me and you, and then we'll sort everyone else out. See what I mean? So it's like, well, it's not...
It is a little bit interdependent because, I mean, the way Mahal sort of said it is, if I don't get my shares, you're not going to get yours kind of thing. And there is a truth to that. Mahal sort of said, well, if I'm not going to get my shares, then good luck getting yours kind of thing.
That's the bullshit thing.
In reality,
That statement only adds up if I'm a complete cunt.
No, but it actually works. Not irrespective of that, it actually works because historically that's how it should work. Because Mehul has always been a shareholder. I haven't, therefore, I believe Mehul should get his shares sorted out before me, because that is.
That's actually quite helpful, isn't it? What you've just said, if you genuinely believe that, then I should focus on phase one.
It is important, and I think Aubrey and Linton will agree that's a fair point, that Mehul should have his share sorted before. But I mean, obviously, we need, you know, because it shows to us anyway that we'll get sorted in due course, but then
you're a bunch of fucking dicks that, you know, you're like, because I think you all doubted that we're not going to get sorted and George's going to run off into the fucking highlands. That's the truth, and you all cunts for it, and I'm not going to do it, but you shouldn't have doubted me, but whatever, we move on. Alright mate, cool, thank you for your input, appreciate it. It's great.
Right. With the pay as you earn stuff, I'm just wondering how that will unfold, but I was thinking...
Can we not do that? I've said we need to talk about it.
I'll put my invoice in as normal. There is an argument that I'm due, obviously, a pay rise, so whether that you know, I then have that day to pay as you earn, or I pay...
Okay, so one of
invoice
the
back, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, I can tie that into was the staffing budget stuff, so... I literally have no fucking idea what people are getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not being involved in a lot of the recruitment. Like, always said, there's loads of new faces, la, la, la. And it's a fair point. And, you know, LinkedIn going, don't send shit to death because people haven't heard from you for years. Fair point. Not nice to hear. Yeah? And there does need to be a comms to say, well, look, here's Jason. He's officially CTO. Here's George. He's head of legal and finance, or he's a strategic advisor to the CEO. However we do it, or whatever we say, that communication does need to happen holistically for the business. And I was wrong to send stuff to people that arguably would be a bit like... I mean, it wasn't the biggest crime in fucking history, but maybe it was a bit ill thought.
The problem with having people that are not known in the business, so obviously whether it's Jamie Vose or whether it's, you know, I don't have a problem with Apilo as a person. I don't know really which.
Yeah, but it's like LinkedIn goes to me, oh, but the fucking company's owned by a fucking Bulgarian. The company ain't owned by a fucking Bulgarian, mate. Who the fuck, do you think there's a contact between Apilo and maybe somebody else?
It does hurt people out if they don't really know who they...
No, and this is what I'm... A big part of what I've said to you is I have to try and allow people to work out their own shit at the LSC today, because ultimately, times out of 10, we probably end up in the same place.
Yeah.
On the flip side, also, there have not been enough comms at all, if any.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, you know, again, going back to the experience I've had, you look at a business, you get fucking emails from the leadership team going, this is what's happened, this is the direction of the business, this is the new leadership team, here's a picture of the new leadership team, here's the fucking structure for the company going forward, here's who that guy is, here's who that guy is. You know, so people can go, oh, there's a nice diagram, org chart, we're good, I understand it, cool.
People,
and that hasn't happened.
Relate.
And it needs to happen. And I get it.
Yeah. People need to be able to relate, you know, rather than just be a name. Do you know what I mean? So, like, for instance, as I say, Avila, I personally don't have an issue with him because I know him, you know, personally.
But, mate, it's no different to you. When you were like, you're the director owner of everything, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many people said to me, what the fuck? So does Jason own everything now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, Aubrey and Linton would say this to me. I'd be like, no, we're working together as a fucking team to come up with the best structure for the company going forward. Because the reality was, mate, you and I worked that solution out, and it is a fucking awesome solution. Honestly, it's awesome, legally and for the benefit of everybody. But because your name was suddenly director of this, director of that, or head of this or head of that, yeah, suddenly Aubrey's like, so do I report into Jason now? I'm like, no, what the fuck? Jason's CTO, effectively, he runs IT, blah, blah. He's also hugely helping out on legals, so he's a major part of the legal action. The stuff that's happening with the companies is... his goodwill and generosity and wish to support the company, and we found a way between us, chatting at home, to make it work, legally.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It's like Linton says to me, please don't contact people on my desk. I don't know if he's ever said anything to you, but I'm sure, I think the inference has been there from what I understand. You know, Jason, don't go near the desk, don't mind. Like, he's so protective of that fucking desk, right? Like, and that's good, in a way, because fuck me, again, I come back to, we would not be here if Adam Linton had not fucking busted his nuts for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I get it. Just today on the call, he did it in a kind of professional, civilised way, and that I can deal with. And in a way, that's why maybe these LSCs would be great. What I can't deal with is on the one-on-one WhatsApp. I mean, like, you and I have had our arguments, mate, but some of the shit he has said to me...
Yeah, but it's different, because when you're in a public forum, you know you can't call each other a cunt.
But you might call him a cunt. I mean, he literally... If you think about the things that I might be most sensitive about in my life, yeah, and then he turns those in and lays them all on my door, and I've always thought of him as a younger brother and always really like wanted to protect him, and, you know, case in point, my response to fucking Kinkler, yeah? It's not very nice to hear, but it is what it is. I've got, and if I hear the fucking phrase from Adam Vose or Jamie Vose again, you just got to suck it up, mate. Just got to suck it up, mate. Just got to suck it up, mate. That's literally what they say. You know. But I think we did well today. I think it was progressive, and I think it's the best we could have possibly hoped for from a first meeting.
Yeah.
I think what was good, I do think, and I think I'm hopeful that I achieved this, or the group achieved this, I do think that actually, you know what, it wasn't George dictating to everybody. It was actually probably more than ever was Alex Piper, Aubrey, you, Lynch, mm-hmm. talking about various issues, and I wasn't a mute. I didn't, like, go, I wasn't sulking. I wasn't like, I'm not going to come to it. But I didn't want, you know, I've had a lot of criticism, mate, in recent times. And I was like, I'm going to try and, I want to let you guys, because if I want to take a bit of time off, yeah,
mm-hmm.
basically, I don't want to come back to the company limping. I want to come back to the company on a fucking big, massive fucking horse. You know what I mean? I want to come
yeah.
strong and all that shit, if I come back or whatever, or however much I come back. So, I have to let you guys learn, too, don't I?
Yeah, I think it's important to let the people who have less experience that you want to push to that sort of leadership role, i.e. Alex and Adam. Oh, not so much Alex, actually, in terms of, you know, he's years more experienced and older and wiser than me and Adam, but in terms of, in the context of this company, you know, he is the newbie out of all of us. So it's best that they sort of go first, they put their ideas forward. Generally, you and I form ideas anyway between ourselves. So, you know, we should be, I think, in a way, it's better that you and I kind of go last anyway, unless we have a real reason to sort of interject. And,
no, but you, like, a case in point today, right?
So
I didn't comment. So I think I said, I was waiting for Jason to comment. I can't remember what the point was. It's something, maybe it was to do with Heather's proxy or whatever, something like that. And I was like, because I don't have the answer, mate. So, and I think everybody expects me to have, ultimately, although everyone criticises me, at the end of the day, everyone also expects me to fix everything, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, have this proxy, I don't know, I need to think about it. I thought Alex was the right person, but he said, no, I don't want to do it. And I understand why I didn't want to do it, and I said, I have to respect that, fine.
Yeah, I don't think Alex ever wants to be in a position of risk. I've noticed that on a few occasions.
I've got two fucking kids and a wife and a home, and yeah, I wouldn't put it at risk either. I've got no kids, no wife, nor of you. You know, I've got some assets and shit, and I've never shied away from that to you. How about I said, you know, yes, that's my concern, because those assets really, or maybe one day I have a family. It looks unlikely because everyone heard I need, please. And I literally, on this fucking phone call, there's a girl called Meta, who I used to go out with, right, who's back in touch with a bit. And she, I sent her a link, she kept this one and go, hey, how's George? How's George doing? I replied and went, sorry, flat out with work. So she sent that at 9 o'clock this morning, and I hadn't replied till this evening. I went, sorry, flat out with work. But when you did text me, I was having a tea break listening to this newfound audio podcast called WW Girl on the Net. Right, and basically what it is, it's a girl, and she used to write blogs about her sexual experiences, and now she just talks about them, right?
Yeah.
And if you listen to them, they're quite erotic and la la, but they're also kind of like she's obviously a pretty intelligent girl. Anyway, and then I went, don't say I don't give you any tips, kiss. So it was really light-hearted, mental nothing, and we have this sort of banter, right? She replied, and I'm like. And I'm literally like in hell at this point. I'm chatting to you on the phone. She goes, please stop with the links. I don't really appreciate them. And I go, huh? And she goes, you're porn shit. I went, it was an audio blog, just a giggle. So far as I'm aware, this is the only link I've ever sent you. She went, yeah, I'm saying don't send anymore. I went, bit of a harsh reply. Are you okay? It was meant to like it. And then she went, I'm sorry, I'm in a really bad mood.
Um, I know.
So basically, what the summary of that is, I
go on.
Don't understand women. Go on, Stuart thing. I do need to get on, mate. Sorry, go on, Stuart thing.
But the Stuart thing, I remember Stuart did say on that he wanted somebody that he knew, didn't he, as well? Because
well,
otherwise,
you can do it?
Pardon?
Do you want to do it?
I think it shouldn't be somebody who's explicitly linked to us.
Yeah. See, okay. And the point you've just made is my key thought as well.
But I think Stuart thinks it's less of a big deal, actually, now, because of all the shit that's gone on. And maybe we should just get on and do it.
Stuart, can you please try and just get him to get on board with just... Listen, mate, I've just told you, everyone's telling me to suck shit up. I have to shut the fuck up on the LSD and try and let other people do stuff. This is the right thing to do for all the reasons we've discussed. Yes?
Yeah.
I want to dictate to everybody, but not like Schneider was saying, I want to dictate because I think what I'm dictating is going to help everybody. I'm not seeing people, blah, 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 everyone wants transparency, fine. But I'm not. But it doesn't work, mate. And I've got to try and embrace, well, I am embracing it. And it's a good thing for me as well.
You've got to let people have...
It means thing is on my shoulders, and it means we have a forum once a week where people share openly instead of in corridors and one-on-one conversations about the Panther business. And I do think those five people need to stand strong and be like, it's going to be like, oh, what about this guy standing? I think we need to stand strong, and that needs to be the very core of the next 6 months at least.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 12 months.
Yeah.
Of course, this is the thing I do take for granted. I'm a chartered accountant. I've worked on some of the biggest companies in the fucking world. I've been on some of the biggest projects. I've been given the best fucking education in the business world about how you structure something and all this shit, blah, blah. Like, you haven't had any of that. But I can't fucking program for shit. I certainly couldn't have done any of the fucking crap you've done for the company. You have been far more valuable, certainly, prior to the last year. Yeah, or 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You've been like 15 times my value, 100 times my value. Yeah? So,
mm-hmm.
Like you say, I've got to try and help you guys learn. And that's what I've got to try and do. In the same way I'm trying to do it with Aubrey. Like, so I dropped Aubrey, like, it was all running over on time. I dropped Aubrey a WhatsApp and went, mate, time check.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually, wrapping that up in an hour and 10 minutes, even though it wasn't quite an hour, about an hour and 10
yeah.
minutes, we all walked away and went, well, this is how I felt. I don't know what you think. I went, okay, cool, punchy, good, address points, boom. I look forward to another meeting next week.
And I think if a point doesn't look like it's getting resolved and we're arguing over something, we ought to have a sort of like an egg timer approach of saying, okay.
Well, we take it offline. It needs to be accepted.
Yeah, and we take it offline because otherwise you end up with something that was a bit like, you know, remember that tedious sales phone call we had about, what, 2-3 months ago where it was
well,
actually out.
Texting and basically...
Everyone was bored, and then in the end, I think...
Okay, so there you go, case in point. So that was an example where I just spoke for the majority of the meeting.
Yeah.
I thought, this is a brilliant meeting, and literally we're all going on track. And Aubrey's there fucking sending text messages or playing some sort of game. Like on his computer or on his phone. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty disrespectful, he's supposed to be the CEO, blah, blah. But then also, George, you're off radar, mate. And I think that the compliance for the time thing is huge. Like, I think we didn't cover, so there was a point left at the end, we didn't cover the strategy point, right? Doesn't matter. You pick it up on email. The point was,
mm-hmm.
if we have three-hour fucking conversations, and certainly if we have three-hour conversations of George talking, everyone's going to kill themselves. If we have three-hour meetings where even George doesn't say a thing, but there's still our three-hour conversations, people are not going to want to be there the following week. It's just inevitable. Yeah? Today, even as the first meeting of naive, all of us naive, coming off the back of some difficult challenges, coming off the back of a hugely busy earnings season for Lynch, you know, we actually got in a fucking room. It would have been better if we'd done it in an hour, but we did it in an hour and 10 minutes. And I think we did pretty fucking, I think you all did pretty fucking amazing. Honestly, that's what I think. And I think if we can stick to that going forward, you know, and I actually have taken away from that meeting that maybe they should be an hour to an hour and a half, absolute max.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is maybe rather than, if we feel it's going to be a long meeting, rather than have a 2-3 hour meeting, why don't we have an hour one day a week and then another hour later on in a week?
Or we have, but then we've got a quarterly meeting, and all that's not being rushed out, so that relates to the share and all this shit, which is a little fucking nightmare. But, you know, ultimately, you know, I just think the time thing is important, mate. Like, we get on, we know we've got an hour, we need to punch through it, boom. You know, there's loads of things that can happen in the fucking aside and all this shit. But if everybody's like going, fuck me, I'm dreading that fucking LSE every week. As in, like, and you can imagine it. Like, Linton would literally be, there we go, 3 hours of fucking Jason and George going. Or George dictating, George doing this, or fucking Alex going, I'd like to make points.
The other thing I think that is quite important, and I've said this in various means, when Ranveer and Matt ran the company, everything was very centralised in terms of communication channels. Everything went via Matt Chung, basically, and Matt would then filter what needed to go back to Ranveer. As a result, nothing was said directly between the desk and me or sales and me, and when it did, because Matt was out the loop sometimes, and it had a side effect. It was almost like if Alex did talk to me and say, "Oh, can you do this?" It would blow up because Ranveer hates the fact that he didn't have control or whatever. But I actually think there is a case in point where, for instance, if you take Evie, where I've not been able to guide him with stuff or give him bits and drip feed work to him. When, you know, there is more than enough work for him, it's just that I don't have time to do it.
To be fair to you, mate.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, you know, let's be honest, right? I want to include myself in this, but I won't. I won't indulge. The reality is, mate, look, you have done so much, mate, on Legals. Like, and I honestly believe, I mean, no one knows how all this is going to work out, right? But I honestly believe it was a huge fucking value, mate. And like, your ability to create that spreadsheet, that chronology, that ability to fucking assimilate data in the time frames that you did to suggest X, Y, and Z, you know, honestly, I think that is a real fucking talent of yours, and I think it added huge fucking value. And I know that you're supposed to be on IT projects and all this shit, right? But you know, we are a small company, and you know, I do think the landscape is changing, probably significantly for you and I hope, yeah,
mm-hmm.
because I hope that we can be less and less involved in Legals, but there's still some Legals to do. But I can't, hand on heart, mate, I can't really support people that will go, oh, well, you're supposed to be IT, and, you know, you didn't, for that. I can't, Lincoln raised it about Laura, oh, what about the project manager side of things?
Yeah. Hey, no, I think actually...
How much value have you, honestly, like, without blowing your own trumpet, how much value have you provided to the business in the last 5 years, 10 years, last 2 years, last 12 years? Just, you don't need to answer the question, it's rhetorical.
No, no.
Compare that to Laura. Well, all right, Laura, great, great, lovely. You've got a nice spreadsheet, and you know, that's great. It's like me. George, wicked, lovely, great, you know, oh, look at all your corporate governance shit. Oh, look at all your lovely IBM fucking schedules. Oh, look at your lovely agenda. Go and sell some shit, you fucking cunt.
So, I think one thing I was going to say...
You know
what
I mean? Like, it's not really fair. I think your environment in the last 2 years... is not, like, you can't say that, I mean, I don't think there's any other CTO in the fucking world, mate, that would be doing what you've done for legal.
Mm-hmm. The one thing I was going to say on this, which is slightly different from where you've gone with it, is getting the desk to liaise with IT a bit more directly. So one of the things I did kind of hint to Yogesh a couple of times, and I don't think it really happened for whatever reason. Is,
I think it might happen more than you know, and I'll tell you something in a Yogesh today.
Yeah, well, I said to Yogesh, you know, if there's projects you can give the guys, then we should be having conversations, you know, and Yogesh, I said to Yogesh, there was a scrape about every vote a while back, and I said, and I know that there's things that could be added to it, and I sort of tried to say, you know, Yogesh, you know, put those down on paper and hand them to Evie. Don't necessarily worry about going, you know, obviously you include me when you send that over, but you don't have to, you know.
Mate, I'll be honest with you.
Put the idea forward, as long as I know that it's happening. You know, I can then just say to Evie, just do that, rather than, you know, wait, you know, have everything micromanaged.
Mate, but listen, and micromanaging. So you and I think, are completely on the same page with this. The bottom line is, mate, this is how I see it, right? We need to recruit people who are self-starters. We
yeah.
cannot have people who, we need people who come to us and go, thanks for that project. So Laura should be coming to us. This is how, this would be my ultimate, like, this would be a great example. Laura wouldn't be going, oh, Sistando haven't done this, or, oh, Jason hasn't done this, the app can't move forward. What she'd be doing is, I know Jason stacks on legal, so I basically went to an outsourced company, paid them 500 quid, and I got this bit done, and that's fine. It's done. Boom. Who don't mind? If not, I'll give you the 500 quid from my own pocket. Now, it takes some balls to do that, and I understand 500 quid to me compared to 500 quid. Laura is probably broken, but whatever. She could just go, can you give me, like, I think you and I would agree. We'd go, like, oh, fine, okay, you can agree anything up to £1,000 expenditure for whatever it is, yeah? Just ping us the note, just ping Jason though, and just say, I want to spend £500 on this. And you, and maybe something we've learned, and, you know, I hope you and I should just go, fuck it, fine, yeah, fine. I haven't got time to worry about £500 because I'm working on a £1.5 million fucking legal case. So,
yeah.
Crack on, do the £500. So Laura would never do this, but let's say another person in Laura's position. So she would then come back and go, okay, fine. So Sistango weren't great. They did this wrong, but then made a workaround. We spent 500 quid with this outsourced agency called Outsourcing Agency, IT.com. They did this. Oh, and also what I've done, basically, so the app is now live. I haven't just sat there with my spreadsheet going, can't move forward, Jason's fault. Can't move forward, Jason's fault. Can't move forward, strategy's not there. What I've done is basically gone, okay, I was stuck. Jason's obviously stacked. I'm not going to go, oh, look, I don't have to do anything. What I'm going to do is go out. I've got the outsourcing done. Now the app's done. Oh, also, I linked in with this other company. They're basically going to put advertising on the app. I've made it £120,000 a year. That is the people we need in this organisation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's down to getting people who have ideas and then people who can execute them and marrying those two things together.
We don't have enough of them.
No. This is where the Alex and Stuart thing is very important. And I think actually, while Alex has been able to plough forward without Stuart to a certain degree, there will come a point where I think Alex will.
Alex needs to. Right? Alex is a fool.
Yeah, yeah.
Alex is the biggest fool. Alex is the biggest fool if he doesn't stay that relationship because he has the most to gain because Stuart can open doors. Stuart's got networks, ideas. What Alex has to do, if he's a smart guy, is filter those ideas, the ones that he can, like, say, for example, I was talking to Stuart the other day, I think I told you this, we're talking about all of this with TFX, blah, 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 and then he goes, yeah, and then we've got this fucking platform for trading. And I, at that point, I'm like, oh, God, because I'm like, yeah, of course we can, and it'd be an awesome idea, mate, but it's a step too far. Like, we've got to fucking be the best audio, real-time, news analysis service in the world. That is our objective. We are not going to be the best audio, real-time news text analysis, mid-range, i.e. tier 2 under Rogers and Bloomberg, analysis service in the world, and B, be the best trading fucking company, sorry, best trading fucking platform, and be the best red check platform,
mm-hmm.
and be the best retail drones over fucking stores platform, but no oil fields. And, do you see what I mean? It's like, we've got so much we can capture and generate value from today, and this is where the strategy does need to happen, because we do need to say, where are we going? And we can't beat everything, mate.
Mm-hmm.
Our skill and our reputation is there. Let's leverage it, and let's kick some ass, and let's close some fucking deals, and let's get TPS up and running so those fucking bastards aren't fucking... Like, I don't want to do it forever, mate. I've always been really anti it. You know I have.
But
I'm not, there comes a time where if every other motherfucker's taking EPO on the fucking Tour de France, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, if I'm not going to take it, and I'm just going to come last every season, I'd rather go and just sit in Starbucks. I don't agree with it. I don't want to do it. But you know, the reality is that the fucking doping agencies are basically going, yeah, we found out that your competitor's taking the EPO. Yeah, we're not going to do anything about it. It's just, that's basically where we are.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's been laid at their door with full detail, and they have gone, yeah, no, we're not interested. And I don't want, because it feels like a backward step, right? And I had a conversation with Aubrey the other day, off the record, obviously. Mm-hmm. And he's the same page. And we just need to do it in a smart way, and there needs to be somebody to fall on their sword. And, you know, back in the day, that was you and Lint. It's definitely not Lint anymore, because he just doesn't... Well, he just thought it through, doesn't want to do it, and he's just a nervous disposition. Your sort of semi-thing, you know, if you have property, you will want to do it there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but there are other people who can do it, and maybe you're just one of those people, right?
Yeah.
So there'll be a formal line, and then if ad hoc people do crazy shit on the desk, crazy shit on the desk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we can't let scum, like, so if what, and I don't, so the other thing is, like, you know, Mehul said, I did bring it up today, we don't go into the depth of it. Mehul did say categorically, Spider has invested in ITC.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't it? Or I misread that? I think I am going to reread it tonight because I just want to make sure I'm right. Now, I don't know if Mehul said that because he doesn't want me, because I think he is worried that I'm going to go off and sell something from under him, but he's a fool anyway, not in a nasty way, but the reality is I don't, like, basically, if you've got over 25%, you can stop a shareholder sale, but you can't stop a trading business asset sale, which is what we do with Ryan's Jet. So, really, he doesn't make any difference. He still wouldn't have that power. But I think that he does have that nervousness. And that, therefore, I'm now... But what I hope is not happening, but I am, obviously, as I am always, a paranoid bastard, you know, is that true? Is it true what Mehul put on there? Or is it... George, don't speak to us.
No, I think there is something... I seem to remember something being raised from another angle, and it wasn't Mehul, where there was some suspicion about Schreider reaching out to ITC. I can't remember what it was.
He did reach out to ITC in the day, but do you remember there was an email that said they were rude to us together?
Yeah, yeah, I remember that was...
But he could have been saying that to Harry, to blag Harry.
Yeah, yeah. No, I look.
Do you think Schneider back in the game?
Schneider did also say in that email that the real prize is ITC.
Did he?
He did in that email. If you reread it somewhere, it's
quite why? Why is the real prize ITC?
Because he sees them as quality. I think what Schneider wanted to do is marry up the sort of professionalism of ITC.
So,
okay.
I had a lot
still
of
company
house alerts today.
Mm-hmm.
I'll send them to you when I get off the call. Can you have a look at it? Basically, I'll tell you what they said. And it may align to exactly what you're saying. One second. Schneider Trading Associates. Basically, it was all about Schneider and his team getting out of Schneider Trading Associates.
Yeah.
Now, if they want to take over the fucking news sport world, yeah?
They have to get out of the trading world.
And they've just done it.
Yeah. And he kept his, email that response in at March period before the administration, very wishy-washy. Schneider Trading wasn't keen, you know, to bankroll Harry, but the appetite may change. It was worded wishy-washy. I know in the email the year before that, it definitely said the real prize is ITC. I think the way Schneider saw it was ITC were professional, they had quality, whereas Live Squawk didn't have the quality. You know, the quality of squawking was crap. But Live Squawk had the Pikey Bloomberg in India, which was good. Hence why he obviously was asking about Pikey Bloomberg's, and also asking whether, you know, Sigma had one, etc. And then they wanted to marry up micro latency. So
but mate,
if I was Schneider.
Okay, so but work with me here, right? We don't want to spend a load of money on Eagles, right? I think we do still have a shot with Andronicu.
Yeah.
I think Andronicu, I could be wrong on this, okay? And I can't guarantee what I'm about to say. But I do think Andronicu actually, like, he's the guy that hooked me up with Teemu, right? Now, Teemu may be nothing, it may be something, it may be nothing. Doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. Mm-hmm. The point is that, effectively, he didn't have to do that. And he doesn't know our industry inside out. So he just basically went, met some good guys, they're doing this, they're looking for business partners, la, 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 have a chat. And he actually said, they're like you. this was quite complimentary. He went, they're like you, intelligent, good, you know, intelligent people, good integrity, la, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
I think if he genuinely believes, and maybe it needs a letter from me, probably from me, yeah? Because... Mm-hmm. I do probably have more of a personal relationship with him than anyone else. I do think if he actually thinks actually Harry, all this shit from Harry and blah, blah, has been a spin and they've all fucked him and it's all going to Schneider. Because he said to me, mate, if I hear a whiff of Schneider, I won't be getting anything. Now, mm-hmm. I could be wrong and Andrew could be full of shit. I accept that, okay? So, but we don't want to spend another fucking million quid on fucking Eagles. So our options are, I believe you and I are aligned on this, that we're trying to use the authorities to do stuff. So,
yeah.
Because it's free, not necessarily free, so we have to pay, like we paid to get the FCA, but we paid $4,000, not a million.
Yeah.
So there is still an option to speak to Andrew and say, look, we know this, but this information that I'm telling you now, Schneider Trading's associate selling out, this shit and rumours from fucking via Mehul. And by the way, huge reason why we need Mehul, case in point. But, you know, it's worth a fucking shot at least to ping it. Because Schneider does care about the authorities. It's the one thing he does care about.
Yeah.
Because he's, I can tell you, he is terrified of criminal shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know, because I was on the other side, and he's like, and what he used to say, you know, well, fucking hell, he'd be like, well, fucking, yeah, I'm just giving him a little bit, man, I'm fucking not going to get. I know, in conversations I had with him back in the day, you know,
yes.
Jail to him, a bit like jail to me.
Yeah.
But jail to me, like, I know this sounds nuts, mate, but if I think I'm going to go to jail for 6 years, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to jump on the building. Like, honestly, like, that is what I'm going to do. So, I am scared of jail, yeah? But that's my way of dealing with it, to have an out, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Most normal people, and Schneider, won't think that. He'll think, there isn't an out. He'll think, fuck, if I get to jail, I'm fucked.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is our potential leverage. And I'm still trying to work through how owning shares in this and that and blah, blah. But if we can leverage, and this is why Van Limited needs to be wound up as well, because...
Yeah, because it's near the three-year window, because
we've then got two people who went to school together, investigating from both sides, and we can basically say, and we can still all do the shit we want to do, and it's got to happen. In fact, I'm going to sit down tonight and try and move it forward tonight. that basically Sting's, oh, but, and I, again, couldn't pick it up because of time today. Sting's got till tomorrow to respond to the challenge that we made back then.
Yeah.
Basically, he said, I want 17 grand, and then we went, that's, wow, that's too much money. Well, to be honest with you, mate, and I'm not trying to, I don't think I need to add fuel to the David Bailey resentment. But the reality is, I do think they dropped the bollock a bit. And I do think it was partly because we weren't paying him any significant amount of money. But it is what it is. The bottom line is, Singh basically said, I want this money. We didn't reply, or David didn't get the shit to Bosey in time because Bosey was picking this up. And then it went up. You haven't replied to Quinn Manuel yesterday, so we have to do another day's work on it. Therefore, it's another 10 grand. I mean, that's literally how it is, right? And basically, so we have got, and we, the reason that we've done this is just to buy us time. But I think the reason I've bought this time, and again, I haven't had full clarity in my own head, but I do think the reason I bought this time is because if you look at the, well, I only sent the summary sheet out because I'm not getting into fucking everybody asking questions about 12 fucking worksheets of fucking 40,000 bits of data and accounts. But within that, you know, is effectively is the situation that basically RAN Limited now has repaid all its creditors pro rata, yeah? So yeah. If it's in an insolvency position, and this is the shit I was trying to explain to people about, I've got to do all these numbers moving around, this, that, and the other, and blah, blah, blah. And now the next, this reconciliation too is another, is the final, hopefully, part of it, is, you know, ultimately, now, RAN Limited, again, you're welcome, RAN Limited is now in a position that it has pro rata repaid its fucking creditors. It cannot be challenged, whether it's Linton, whether it's fucking Evilo, whether it's you, whether it's me, whoever the director, they cannot be challenged if they've done the wrong thing, because they've pro rata repaid their creditors and tried to reduce their creditor bill, right?
Yeah.
So now that company can be wound up, and yeah. I think it needs to be wound up. And I didn't get a chance to pick up on this, and it's another thing on my fucking radar, but, you know, ultimately, we wind it up, Singh doesn't get his money, he can fucking chase it. Now we've got Lives Walking Administration.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got RAN Limited Administration. And we can choose, I don't know the exact plan, but we can choose to now pursue Singh for M&I, sorry, Schneider for M&I. But I'm hopeful that we can do it using the resources of Andrew Adronicou and Richard Rones, and maybe yeah. we bring an in-house lawyer.
Yeah. I definitely Good. Think the RAN stuff needs to be sorted, and I think we need to... Look, if we can get something out of Schneider through administration, then we should try it. It's worth a punt, as long as
but
we're not spending...
But we've all learned a naive lesson in our business lives here, and luckily you get to learn it 9 years earlier than me. It's very hard to recover value from civil litigation because of the cost of the lawyers. Like, when I got sued last week, 200 grand, they come off to 200 grand. Reality is, if I take that to court against Sinclair and Petman, yeah, I'm going to have to spend 400 grand on my own lawyers to do it. They're going to spend 400 grand on their lawyers. If I lose, I'm not facing a 200 grand bill. I'm facing a £1 million bill. So I put my own fucking fees, plus their fees, plus the 200. And the damage is 200. The legal costs are 800. And it's the same. If you, I've been watching it in the press, mate, like this thing with Cliff Richard. It's like 200,000 awarded to Cliff Richard. Millions. The BBC has spent millions on legal.
But this is the nature of the civil system, and I think it's deliberately designed.
It's fucking wrong, mate. It's so wrong.
No, but it's deliberately designed like this because the idea is that you don't go to court and go to trial. You settle. That's the whole objective of it, is to settle before anything happens. And naturally, the BBC haven't done that, and the BBC are...
Well, if I was the BBC, I believe I was right. I wouldn't do it. Well, but I don't.
Well,
think
but the BBC have got a large line of dry powder, haven't they? That's been given to them by the taxpayer. So
yeah,
naturally, they are going to fight it.
We haven't got that, have we?
No, we haven't. Unfortunately, we can't get that out of taxpayer like the BBC.
We need to sell white labels, mate. White
labels as opposed to white powder.
No, absolutely. But if I was a fucking... if you and I were as wealthy as Schneider, yeah, we would be kicking ass all over the place I think we've done amazing things to be here, mate. You've got to remember, we have fought people with, like, tens of millions. As far as I know, you're on 24 grand, and I'm worth a couple of mil. You know, so it's like... And you look at the civil system, I mean, fucking hell. It's a miracle we're even... Well, I'm not sure I am actually still alive, actually, but... Do you know what I mean? But it is wrong morally, mate. It really is wrong, because basically it favours the fucking rich man. Therefore, we just may as well live in America. But we have to, therefore, we have to be smarter, and we have to use the authorities. We should be looking at going to bona fide. Anyway, you need to press more, all this kind of thing. And I think that, you know, I don't know what you think. I have definitely lost a bit of energy in the legals and the fight.
Yes.
It's coming back, is how I feel at the moment. Yeah? I think I lost a lot of energy, but I also think all the internal shit with you and blah, blah, yeah? And this is why I don't want to fucking fight metal, for God's sake. You know, it's fucking draining, mate. Like, you joined the legals, you know, got more involved, and you got them, you know, like now, in the last bit, you've been more involved than I was. But at the beginning, I was majorly more involved than you were. And, you know, so we just got to try and be smart, but I think we've got to bury Rand Limited, mate. And I think we've got to make a decision about whether we're going after Rand via criminally. I mean, we've talked about this shit for 6 fucking months.
Yeah, I kind of...
But it's going to cost us, mate. That's the problem. It is going to cost money. So do we want to spend this money on the criminal? But I do feel criminal is a different ball game because we're not as liable for costs.
Do you not think there is an angle where we wind up around trying to get the insolvency practitioners to question Schneider, get that money out of Schneider,
and use that to go after Rand? All of that.
Yeah.
That is where, and as I say, I feel like I'm starting to re-energise a little bit. And when I have something like the LSC today that I think is, and this is where I get positive, is like moving us forward. And even though, you know, obviously I've got my own gripes and so on, but, you know, I do feel at least like, fucking hell, this is fucking cool. So as much as I want to go like, fucking hell, God, can we please just get to the fucking decision, because it's really obvious what we're going to do here. Right? But, yes. My answer is yes. My answer is yes. And we should look at that. Not look at it. We should do it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right.
Okay, well, I need to go for food.
Seriously, this is what you do. This is, the problem with you and me is we love to chat the fucking wazoo. And you draw me in. I've got to go and do some work, mate. I've got to fucking get this shit out as a proposal to fucking metal. Got to try and do this reconciliation too, which is all fucking transparency with suppliers, including GCB, Ginkgo, and so on. You know, and also I hope it's going to come out with another massive tax saving, so I hope I'll save us, you know, the whole quarter of a million. But I'm sorry about the £100 fine, just being a dick at this point. All right?
Yeah.
Maybe a tinkling right way, but cool. Thanks for your time, mate.
All right, catch you in a bit.
Cheers, buddy.